With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
And that's full time! Darlington are the EvoStick Northern Premier League champions! Wow. Unbelievable scenes here at the Turnbull Ground. The referee made a beeline for the dugout. Unbelievable. What a season it has been for the Quakers.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's very special EvoStick Extra. Yes, we're finally here. The climax, the end of season, the last Saturday of the proper league season. It's finally happening, people. What we're going to do? Well, for starters, we're going to congratulate Darlington on winning the league. Well done. More on that in a second or two. But we're also going to catch up with the title race in Division 1 South as we speak about Shawlane Aquaforce and Stafford Rangers. And later on, we're also going to be previewing the playoff semi-finals in Division 1 North with Andrew Simpson. All of that and a little bit more coming up on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everybody to this week's very special show, where this week we're looking at the flashpoints for the last Saturday of the regular season in the EvoStick Northern Premier League. So very shortly, we're going to be discussing the title race in Division 1 South, and we're going to be discussing the playoffs in Division 1 North. And very shortly, we're going to be discussing the playoff picture in the Premier Division. But there's only one place we can start, really, and that is to last night's scenes at Whitby Town, where Darlington were crowned champions. Soon after the final whistle, I caught up with the non-league dailies Mark Carruthers in my kitchen. That's right, in my kitchen. So there's a bit of an echo on this, but there you go. But here's me speaking to non-league dailies Mark Carruthers after last night's final whistle at the Turnbull Ground.
So, Mark, we're recording this on Thursday night. It's 10 to 10. I'm in my own kitchen because my daughter's asleep in the radio studio. And you're on the side of a road after being to a football match. What do you make of those scenes at Whitby Town tonight? I mean, Darlington winning the league and winning it in, well, some form of style, it has to be said.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, that's a way to do it, isn't it? Hammer a local neighbour 7-1. It's amazing scenes for Darlington. It's a long road back from where they've been, and it's not so long ago they were a Football League club. It's another step on the long road back to the Football League for them. They've deserved it this season. They've been, I think personally, the most consistent team. They have had a blip, but it was a minor blip compared to other teams. And you know, the players have got there, the likes of Phil Turnbull. For me, Phil Turnbull's, I think I've said this on the show before, he's a National League player and someone who I think could probably play in the Football League. They've got so many good players there. I think they'll do well next season as well, with what I dare say will be a summer of investment as well.
And the thing about Darlington as well is it's because they've been ground sharing and because of the winter we've had, it's such an impressive feat with how many games they've played in the last couple of months as well.
It is, and the sad thing is that everyone seems to think Darlow have got a massive squad, and they really haven't. And it's a point I've made as much as I can that they haven't got a big squad. They've got a small, compact squad, but it's full of quality. You know, if someone gets injured, they can bring someone in who's got equal quality. But it isn't a big squad. It's just full of players who are willing to fight for the cause and fight for the manager, who deserves all the you know, respect that we can give him.
Ball now breaking in the edge of the box for Thompson. He's trying to find Cartman, but Whitby managed to intercept, but he's managed to keep the ball going. Cartman plays it back to Terry Galbraith, who puts the ball in left foot. Ball's dropping into the edge of the box for Leon Scott. He's got a shot! And it's another goal! Lucky seven for Darlington! A slightly surreal moment as the consummate ease as Leon Scott brought the ball down on the edge of the box from his pass from Nathan Cartman, and he just found his spot. Seven is over. Those joining us late, it's Whitby nil, Darlington seven. Darlington are going to be champions.
The marvellous Darlow fans radio there, cracking stuff. So, last night, what scenes at Whitby Town? And joining me now, and I don't think he's actually slept since, it's the manager at Darlington, it's Martin Gray. Hello, Martin, how are you?
Hi, Ben, how are you doing? All right?
I'm all right, mate. So, where'd you start? I mean, you must be disappointed conceding that goal at Whitby last night.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the game plan was to go down and win the game. And, you know, we knew that a point would be enough. But, you know, the mentality within the group was that, you know, we want to try and win every game we're going to. with the last two remaining games. And, you know, we couldn't have asked for a better start to be 6-0 up within sort of 45 minutes. You know, it was something you'd only dreamed about.
I was listening to it last night on Darlow Fans Radio, and they were a bit surprised by what was going on. I think everyone was. It's you'd think that nerves might play a part, but the run the club's been on in the last couple of months or so, it was just a maraud, wasn't it, really, last night?
It was. You know, you got off to a good start. I think we scored within the first 3 minutes. And, you know, I think, you know, then you go one, and then you just feel it's your night. You know, I think even when we're 5-0 up, like our keeper said, the penalty, and when them things happen, you just feel like, you know, it's meant to be tonight. But, you know, the mentality of the players all season has been absolutely outstanding. And, you know, they've had that winning mentality for 4 years since I've taken off the club. And, you know, they really buy into exactly what we want from them.
I mean, we could talk about the achievement of winning the league, but really, we should go back to the beginning. Darlington promoted last season. So to come into this league and win it in the first season, that's a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, I say 4 years ago, I picked the club up with no players. And I think, you know, people forget that. You know, we had a piece of paper and we didn't have any scouting systems, nowhere to play, no team to play from. And, you know, 4 years later, we've gained 3 promotions in the 4 year, and one of them, on top of that, was a playoff semi-final. So, you know, they've done remarkable on and off the pitch. We've had lots of different people run the club within that 4 year, which has been very difficult. But, you know, it's been a magnificent achievement from the playing side of things to, you know, constantly push for promotions year after year. And, you know, every league that you go into, obviously, the better league, better standard. And to get a back-to-back promotion with the teams around us, that sort of really challenged us, Salford and the Blythe Spartans, and, you know, teams that really have got good players, and to dominate the league, hopefully breaking all the records this weekend, hopefully getting 107 points.
Absolutely.
Is an amazing feeling.
Now, I hate to tell you this, but I was looking back through the MPL show archives and the predictions that were made at the start of the season, and I think everyone pretty much put you in the playoffs, or at least dark horse situation, and in fact a couple of people said you're going to win the league. What were your expectations this season going into it?
To be honest, to win the league, I mean, I said that, I quoted that, and I think, you know, that's me opening my big mouth, but I put myself under immense pressure. But, you know, it was, you know, I felt that we had the right team, you know, as long as I got the right players in, which, you know, was important. And we did that in the summer. We brought in 3 or 4 players that's played in the Unibond Premier, and then strengthened the squad. And I feel with the players that we had and the players that we brought in, that we could definitely challenge. And you needed a bit of luck. But, you know, I must say everything's worked against us this year. We've had 15 games called off this season. We were 16 points behind Blythe 2.5 months ago. And we've had Saturday, Tuesday, Thursdays for the last 2 weeks to play. We've played 10 games in the last 14 days and won the championship.
I mean, we spoke to Craig Stoddart a few times in recent months, and we've been talking about those games that you've had to claw back, and we could talk about how, you know, you've come into this league. It's after a promotion last season, you won the league, but really one of the biggest achievements, like you say, is playing Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, and getting these games under your belt. We should also mention Spennymoor in this as well over the last couple of weeks, the help that they've given the club. But it must be quite satisfying to have finished the season like this with these games you've had to play and had a squad that's proper galvanised.
It is, and I think, as I said to you before, we've had that from day one. We've demand us, you know, it's about everybody, not me or somebody else. It's about everybody, from people off the pitch to people on the pitch, pulling in the same direction. And the players have done that better than anybody. You're right, Spennymoor Football Club is probably the massive reason why we've got promoted. They allowed us to play 2 games. Had they not, goodness knows what would have happened this week, played 5 in 5 days, which would have been virtually impossible to win a championship. So a massive thank you that goes out to the chairman of Spennymoor and the people in that club, because they didn't have to do it, they did it, which helps local non-league football. And you know, I can't thank them enough for their contribution towards the help for us the back end of the season. And you know, on the back of that, it's allowed us to go win the championship.
And next season, just looking to the future, National North next season. The club is also moving back to Darlington, which must be really pleasing. And what's the mood for next season? Are you looking forward to taking the trip down to Lowestoft away, that kind of thing, in the National North next year? What's your view on it?
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? I mean, the club's coming home this year. You know, we've had a championship this year, we've won that. We've got a brand new ground, brand new league to go into. You know, what more could you ask for to really sort of go challenge yourself at the next level? So really, really exciting, and we just can't wait for a new challenge.
Well, Martin Gray, manager at Darlington, thank you for coming on the show. And on behalf of all the listeners, and I think this is on behalf of all the listeners, a big, massive congratulations. Very worthy winners this season. And good luck next season in the National North. And we hope you never come back.
Great, thank you very, very much.
So that's the championship, Darlington, worthy champions, it has to be said. That leaves Blyth Spartans in second. They'll have home advantage for both the semi-final, and if they win in the semi-final, the final as well. The remaining playoff spots, it's a bit more up in the air. Frickley Athletic tonight, they hosted Stourbridge, and well, a mad couple of minutes towards the end of that match. Stourbridge were 1-0 up, and then Frickley go and win it 2-1.
Yeah, it's a big blow, isn't it, for Stourbridge? They've probably been one of the eye-catching teams in the league this season. Obviously, the awards due on Sunday, Carl Hawley taking away a few awards as well, and he's been fantastic this season, led the line really well for them. Stourbridge, I always thought they would sneak in there, and to be honest, I thought they were dark horses to go up in the playoffs, never mind just to make it. But it's going to be a really tight last day of the season, and they'll be looking to turn things around, won't they?
It's going to be a phenomenal end of the season on Saturday. I mean, Stourbridge are hosting Salford City, which Salford City are third at the moment. The goal difference is superior to Ashton United in fourth position. So you've got to imagine Salford City are going to finish third now, no matter what the result is on Saturday, barring 9-0, of course, for Stourbridge. But it looks like Salford City are going to be third. Ashton United, while Stourbridge are at Salford, Ashton United are travelling to Sutton Coldfield Town, and Workington, who are currently a point behind the playoff positions now, are hosting Buxton. Where do you think this is going to go? That trip to Sutton Coldfield is not easy for Ashton. Stourbridge hosting Salford. Salford's away form is excellent, so that's not going to be easy. Workington are at home. Any last-minute surprises for the playoffs?
I can honestly see Workington sneaking in there, to be honest. Earlier in the season, they looked nailed on for it, didn't they? They looked as if they were definitely going to finish in the playoffs. Had a bit of a wobble, and have struggled recently. But what we should say is they've had an absolutely horrific injury list from what I've been reading. They've got the best of the fixtures. I think there's no doubt about that. So I wouldn't be overly surprised if we're going to sneak in. Ashton, I think, however, they've had a bit of a recruitment drive towards the back end of the season before the deadline passed, and brought in some very impressive players. I think we discussed them last time, and you weren't overly happy about a couple of additions that they made. But we'll not talk about that any further.
No, FC finished mid-table, so I'm fine with it now.
That's all right. It's okay now. That's fine. But yeah, it's a really tough one to call. It really is. But I just got a sneaking feeling Wigan will might just sneak in there. So I apologise to all Wigan fans when it doesn't happen.
You can go to Matt Carruthers at Non-League Daily, Workington fans. We should say as well, just before we leave Thursday night's fixtures, Frickley Athletic, if they just got a few more wins — this sounds like a stupid comment I'm going to say here, but they're so close, aren't they? How many points is that? There's 7 points from the playoffs. No one predicted that at the start of the season, did they?
No, and you know, one of the teams every year you hear people saying, well, they're going to struggle, they're going to finish lower half, they're going to possibly have a relegation battle on their hands. And let's not forget, you know, they've lost some key players this season, some really big players for them, and they've still managed to put in a great performance. It's a good club. It's clearly still a development club. There's been changes there over the course of the season. Hopefully they can have a stable summer and keep a hold of their big names and go again next year.
Absolutely. Quickly, because I know you've got to get home, Mark, it's late at night. Commiserations as well to Hyde United and Stamford, now officially relegated from the division. The Monday night fixture for Hyde United, 4-0 at home to Nantwich Town. The writing was on the wall at that point. And for Stamford, they had a good result, didn't they, on Tuesday night against Skelmersdale United, but it was all in vain in the end.
Yeah, just a little bit, you know, too little too late, I think. And both clubs have really just haven't been able to put anything meaningful together this season. Hyde, I thought they would be comfortably mid-table. I know they had a horror show last season, getting relegated from the National League North, or the Conference North, I guess, as it was last season. But it just hasn't happened for them. And I think that really what it shows is the quality of the Rustic League this season. The fact that teams who have come down from the National League have struggled. And I think I've said before, this is probably the strongest Evo Stick that I've known in my time working in the league. Just one final word on the playoffs. Whichever four teams are in, I will say, I think this will be the strongest set of playoffs that you'll have seen in history. I mean, whichever four clubs are in are going to be four strong clubs, and it's going to be whoever wins that, it'll be deserved winners.
Well, Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily, thank you for joining me in my kitchen on Thursday evening. I hope you've enjoyed what I've cooked up for you.
I didn't get off the cup of tea.
that's the way we roll in Salford. But anyway, a quick mention for the Non-League Daily and how people can keep abreast of the Non-League world.
Yep, it's you can find us at nonleaguedaily.com. That's the website that I'm editor of. And we're always happy to accept content as well. So if my contact details are on there, if anyone wants to send anything in. On Twitter at Non-League News, and my own, I might as well throw in as well, is at MarkNLDaily. And big thanks for your coverage of the season as well. It's fantastic. The podcasts are excellent, and I'm sure everyone in the league appreciates them.
We're only as good as our contributors, Mark. So thank you for coming on the show in April. Are you going to be at the Dudeson by any chance?
I think I'm washing my hair that night.
Oh, unbelievable. We'll hear from you, Mark, if that's okay, for our season review in early May, if that's okay, just to get your final thoughts on how things have turned out. Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily, thank you very much for joining us on Evo Stick Extra this week.
So, very shortly, we're going to be discussing Division 1 North with your friend of mine, Andrew Simpson, from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. But before that, there's a title race taking place in Division 1 South. A big weekend to come for Stafford Rangers and Shaw Lane Aquaforce. We're going to be discussing Shaw Lane in a second or two. But before that, the league leaders, and they've been pretty much the league leaders now all season. And to discuss this more in depth this weekend, we're now joined by the sports editor at the Staffordshire Newsletter. It's the welcome return of David Broome. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
So this is a very tense and nervous weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. It has all come down to this last weekend. Rangers obviously hoping that it might have been tied up with Shaw Lane, where it was seconds away from drawing. It's come down to this last weekend, and it's sort of winner takes all, really.
Tividale midweek gave it a good go, though, 3-2 the end score to Shaw Lane Aquaforce. But with Stafford Rangers, I was looking at the league progress all season. They've been top of the league since game 5 of this league campaign. What's the mood like at the club at this moment?
I think they came last Saturday. They drew it, but I think they recognised that they played really well. And that they came up against a good keeper, so I don't think there's any, you know, that they're going to be down after that. And I think they're just pleased that it's still in their hands. A few weeks ago, when they lost at Chasetown, it was out of their hands then. And I think there was a bit of despondency around the club after that, that they might have to go through the playoffs instead. But obviously, Shaw Lane have been dropping points, and now it's back in their hands again. So they know that all they need to do is draw on Saturday in the title first.
And you say they have to draw. The reason for that is because Shaw Lane have got this superb goal difference at the moment, and it's been amazing to see Shaw Lane, because Shaw Lane over the last 3 months, they've had so many games in hand. Has there been a bit of a surprise in Staffordshire with how Charlene have clawed this back?
I think so. I think Rangers were 20 points clear. I don't think anyone really thought they were going to win them all. But then they did win the majority of them, and they have made it so close. You know, it is coming down to the last game of the season. I think there's sort of a general recognition that if Charlene do win it, you know, then they will fully do it. They will have been the best team in the league if they finished off, you know.
And when it comes to this weekend, Stafford Rangers, Charlene have got that trip to Rugby Town, and Rugby Town are a bit of a bag of tricks, really. They score a lot, but they concede a lot as well. When it comes to Colville, though, for Stafford Rangers, this is a tough game to end the season on.
I know, yeah. I mean, to have to play the team third in the table in your last game of the season, it couldn't have been much tougher unless they were playing Charlene, really. I suppose the only thing that Rangers might hope is that Colville are already, you know, they can't finish any higher or lower than third now that they're in the playoffs. Obviously, they want to beat the league leaders on the last day of the season, but hopefully then they might have half an eye on the playoffs next week, so it might make things slightly easier for Rangers, but it's definitely going to be tough. Yeah.
On the main NPL show, we've been mentioning for the last couple of months now, the team who finishes in second, if it's a close title race, they do struggle a bit. I mean, my own club, FC United, a couple of seasons ago, we just got pipped to the post by Charlotte. Then in the semi-final, we played the team who'd finished fifth, and it was like a wake in the stadium, and no one was up for it. What do you think if worst comes to the worst, the playoffs, it's going to be tough, isn't it, with those three teams who are definitely in there. Have Stafford Rangers got enough if worst does come to the worst?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you say, I think if the worst happens on Saturday and it does have to go to another week, I think there will be a feeling of the fact that they missed out. Like you say, they've been top for 30-odd weeks now. But, you know, they'll definitely finish second, so they'll be at home in the semi-final, and you know they'll get thousands in at Marston Road if it's a playoff game, and they've been, you know, virtually unbeatable for the last two seasons at home, so I'd back them to do it in the playoffs if that's the way it has to go.
And Stafford Rangers have had an excellent season, and it all boils down to this match against Colville Town on Saturday, really. And where's the best place to keep abreast of what's going on at Stafford Rangers on and off the pitch, David?
Obviously, the Stafford Newsletter is the best place to keep up with Stafford Rangers. We have a live blog at every Rangers game, keeping up to date with all the minute-by-minute action. So whether you're at the game or not, you can keep up with that on our website.
Well, David Broom, sports editor at the Staffordshire Newsletter. You can follow David on Twitter at DM Broom, ending in an E. But David Broom, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. It's a very big weekend, and all the best covering it.
Thank you.
So, from Stafford Rangers now to the other team in this race, and Charlene Aquaforce. And joining me now from the Barnsley Chronicle, it's Ashley Ball. Hello, Ashley. How are you?
I'm okay, Ben. Yourself?
I'm all right. I'm not too bad. Welcome to the show. It's your debut as well. You must be honoured. Anyway, so this title race in Division One South, it's been brewing, but it's coming down to a bit of a crescendo now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's. I think Aquaforce have looked so far away for such a long time that perhaps. You know, even to take it to last game of the season is an incredible effort for the amount of games they've had to play in such a short space of time. And, obviously it goes down to last day. Stafford obviously still massive favourites, but, it could still be done if results go their way.
And you mentioned how many games they've had to fit in. Last night, obviously, Darlington won the league, and they were in a similar position. But actually, Charlene's amount of games they've had to play in the last few months or so, it's just been epic, hasn't it? I mean, what's the mood been like at the club over the last few months?
Yeah, it's just been a case of, you know, look, we're probably in the playoffs. Well, we're almost certainly in the playoffs. We've been in the playoffs for such a long time that, you know, may as well have a crack at the league. I don't think they've lost in this running either, which, you know, is another incredible effort. They've had a couple of disappointing draws, which has probably cost them the title, if we're being honest. But, like I said, I think it's 26 points. At one stage they were behind, they've reeled it into three. You know, it's an incredible effort. But they did the same last season in Northern Counties Premier League. They had a big workload towards the end of the season, and they won the title last season. So, you know, they'll be confident. You know, they've done it before. They can perhaps do it again.
Now, we spoke to the chairman at Shaw Lane a while ago, and it's, as you've alluded to there, they are an ambitious club, and obviously there's the name change for next season, and the club's obviously hopeful for going in to the NPL Premier Division next year, and Gavin Allett, for example, and big name signings like that. What's your take as a journalist in the area covering this club? What's your take on the rise of Shaw Lane over the recent years?
Yeah, it's been exciting. I mean, they've been promoted every single year in existence. So, you know, it's been a fun journey to cover Appleforce. I said it's going to be another new era for them next season with the name change. But yeah, they are a fun club to cover, particularly because, you know, they are the top South Yorkshire non-league team now, and you know they come from nowhere to earn that sort of title. They've gone above Stocksbridge and Sheffield SC. The highest advanced non-league team's ever been. And like I said, the likes of Allah and Adam Priestley, you know, they're big names at this level, and, you know, they bring excitement to Barnsley non-league football scene.
And 93 goals as well ain't bad. And that goals difference is the thing that's kept Shaw Lane in this, because obviously Stafford Rangers could slip up at the weekend and Shaw Lane have to win, but because of that goal difference, that's the key, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I think a lot's been made of goals that they do score, but they also went through a spell of keeping a lot of clean sheets.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yes.
Which, you know, boosted goal difference. But they do have that ability within them to, you know, blow away a side in 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. They can score 3-4 goals. And like I said, they've been used to doing that through coming up through the leagues. And, yeah, they play sort of three front men with two attacking wingers. So, and fullbacks get forward as well. We've got a lot of quality from fullback position. So they do create chances. They do score lots of goals. And obviously, that's going to be in their favour tomorrow, because, you know, if they win and Stafford slip up, that, you know, their goal difference is going to be what wins them the title.
And they're playing a team tomorrow who in Rugby Town let's be honest, they're quite entertaining. They score a lot. They concede a lot. So it could be one of those interesting afternoons. Stafford Rangers.
Yeah.
Stafford Rangers. They've got a tough trip to Colville. It's a tricky one because it's the last game of the season, so anything could happen. But it looks like Shaw Lane have got the easier game. I'm going to say they've said it. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, although they played rugby recently, the reverse fixture, and, you know, they took a last minute winner to see off rugby that time. So, you know, like I said, they're sort of similar in Aquaforce in that they've, you know, they score a lot of goals, and Aquaforce in recent weeks have probably shipped a few as well, which has cost them really, because, you know, they could have probably be champions right now if they hadn't drawn with Gull and Kidsgrove. Will cost the results, but, you know, they're not dwelling on that. The fact that they could already be champions, you know, winner against Tiverdale overnight. So they will go into this game, you know, needing a win, and, you know, I think they'll definitely go for it. But Craig Elliott, the manager, said that they're going to keep an eye on Stafford's results, because obviously they've got a cup final on Tuesday as well to prepare for, and also potentially a playoff game on Wednesday. And I think in total it'll be 7 games in 14 days if they end up in the playoffs as well. So, you know, it's a lot of things to think about. And
absolutely.
Stafford will be thinking similar, you know, do we go for a draw? A draw will be enough to see them champions, but, you know, that might be a dangerous game to play as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of physical and mental stress for the players from both sides and managers this weekend.
And lastly, Ashley, when it comes to the actual playoffs, in Division 1 South, the playoffs are pretty much nailed... Well, they are nailed on with three of the teams anyway. It's just a question of who's going to have home advantage in the second spot. With Stafford and with Shaw Lane, whoever finishes in that second spot, do you have any doubt that they can go up via the playoffs, or is there a sting in the tail from one of the other three teams?
Possibly. I mean, I think if it is Aquafort that go into the playoffs, they will be disappointed that that they've missed out on the title. But I think the other element is the fact that they've got Prickley in the Sheffield Senior Cup final on Tuesday night at Bramall Lane, which is a huge game really. If they finished mid table this season and got to that cup final, it'd be a massive game for them. But it's lessened in importance because of the title race. I think what we found this season is that for the most part, you 3 points aren't guaranteed against any team. Wins aren't guaranteed. Aquafort have found that out against Tividale, Gould, were down at the bottom of the table. So I think the other teams in the playoffs, Colville, and they're a good side as well. So I don't think it's nailed on at all. I think when you generally look at playoffs, it's not always the team that finishes second or third that does go up. It might be the team that's snuck in late on in the league that do get it from last promotion spot.
And it's absolutely amazing how often that happens, we should say. But Ashley Ball from the Barnsley Chronicle, how can people keep abreast of Charlene Aquaforce and with previews and reviews of matches and that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, Chronicle comes out every Friday. So from Friday morning, there'll always be an Aquaforce sort of roundup. It's been difficult in recent weeks, given that they've been playing so many games and playing Thursday night. To try and keep in touch and get the latest on them. But Chronicle's out on Friday, and we've also got a website and Twitter as well.
And you can follow Ashley as well at Ashley Jarno Ball on Twitter. Well, Ashley Ball from the Barnsley Chronicle, thank you for coming on the show. An excellent debut, I thought. And good luck in the next week or so covering all this action that's going on in Division 1 South.
It's going to be busy.
So, lastly, on this week's very, very exciting end-of-season special here on Evo Stick Extra, you've heard from Darlington, you've heard about that exciting playoff chase in the Premier Division between three superb clubs, you've heard about the title running in Division 1 South, then there's Division 1 North. And joining me now for Division 1 North, it's Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andy, how are you?
I'm all right. Everyone else has stolen our excitement.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know how to G this up. Yeah, football. Come on.
let's start by giving Warrington a lot of love for finally getting over the line. They've done it in some style as well, past the 100-point mark, record number of goals. I mean, you pick a stat, any stat, convincing and worthy champions in the end. I think I tweeted earlier this week. It's absolutely right to say that. Well done to them. And of course, exciting new era for them now, because they will now play at the highest level in the club's history next season. So genuinely exciting times for Warrington. They clinched the title last week in front of the biggest crowd to watch a Division 1 North game this season, just under 1,500. So that is, the potential. I'm sure Toby McCormack will have been absolutely made up to see that many people there. Real potential, real exciting times. And I think we've got, in the end, absolutely the right team as going up as champions.
Well, we spoke to Toby McCormack on Sunday night, and he had a big trophy in his hand, and he'd also won the raffle. So he had whiskey in the other hand, big bottles of whiskey in the other hand. So it was all good at Warrington this past weekend, that has to be said. So much love to Warrington Town. Congratulations again. Spennymoor, in the last month, I've sealed second spot. We spoke to Martin Gray early. He's offered his thanks to Spennymoor as well off the pitch for helping Darlington out in their hour of need with fixture congestion. Spennymoor Town have had an excellent season.
They had a fantastic season. We touched on them last month about kind of what their psychology would be going into the playoffs. And I think they're in a really good place because really, they've never been in a title race with Warrington. This is not a classic case of whoever finishes second kind of limps into the playoffs and is feeling sorry for themselves and wondering what might have been. Spennymoor have been on an unbelievable run since the turn of the year. I had a quick look before we started recording. They've only lost one game in 2016, which was last week against Norwich, but Spennymoor were already safe in second spot by then. And they've won 19 of their 22 league games. So they go into the playoffs in fantastic form. Big advantage in terms of they will play the semi-final at home on Tuesday night, which we now know is going to be against Burscough. And Spennymoor can progress, they will also have home advantage in the final. So they will reap the rewards of finishing second. But yeah, I mean, fair play to them. They've, in the end, run a quite a lonely race in second spot. Like Warrington, got over 100 points for the season. And I think you have to make them favourites to go up as playoff winners. You mentioned Darlington. They'll want to kind of mimic what Darlow did last season. Darlow were promoted as playoff winners after finishing second, albeit Darlow had been in a much closer race for first place. So they'll be looking to that and saying, well, this kind of myth that whoever finishes second kind of collapses in the playoffs didn't happen last year, and Spenny will be hoping that history repeats this time.
And as you said, they're going to be hosting Burscough midweek in the semi-final, the playoffs. And Burscough, they've got a neat and tidy record. I feel they've
done great, Ben. I mean, Spennymoor will be slightly concerned that Burscough are finishing the season in fantastic form. They're unbeaten in 8 matches. In the end, I mean, again, this time last month we were looking at it and saying, oh, there's still 3 or 4 teams in this race to finish fifth. Burscough go into tomorrow's fixtures 11 points clear of 6th place Lancaster. So they've done it in some style. They've blown away any possible competition for finishing fifth. They'll feel good about going up to Spennymoor in the playoffs. And it's whilst they've finished a little bit of distance behind Spennymoor, they go up there in great form. As I've just said, everyone's going to think that Spennymoor are favourites. That might suit Burscough, and I think they deserve, whatever happens, and this might sound slightly passionate, they've had an incredible season. Absolutely. I don't think any of us tipped Burscough to finish in the top 5, so they've exceeded expectation already. That will help them, no pressure next week, and let's see what they can do. I mean, they've done fantastic.
Did they go on a cup run as well? They got to the third qualifying round, didn't they?
And a good run in the FA Cup and a not bad run in the FA Trophy. I mean, it's been a fantastic season for them.
Good memory, that. I remember interviewing the manager a while ago. Anyway, moving on. We're going to do a season review in May. We are going to show our appreciation to Lancaster City as well, who let's be honest, in September, were in a bit of turmoil with the management team leaving, and they've flipped the table on its head, really, finishing sixth, or that up at the, just on the border of the playoffs has been superb.
Yeah. Obviously,
Witten Albion's improved as well in the second half of the season, so we'll show love to them. And you wanted to just mention Ossett Town as well. I'd like to mention Ossett Town as well, because we obviously had the manager on Grant Black last month, and he has proven that you can come on this show and it not ruin your season.
I think we should repeatedly hammer that point from now on. You know, look what happened at Ossett Town. We can help you. Yeah, I wanted to give them a shout out because we were last month's record right on the cusp, but they knew they had a double header with Harrogate coming, and if the first of those two games was right after we recorded, Ossett picked up 3 massive points by beating Harrogate. They went on to beat them again when they played each other again, and I think Ossett Town now going into the final round of the season, they've actually climbed up to 18th place in the table. They've won 5 of the past 7 games. They're finishing the season in great form. In the end, they're finishing miles ahead of second bottom, which is something we were talking about. They were still kind of looking over their shoulders this time last month. It shows you how well they've done. I had a little look at their record since Grant Black was appointed in the middle of February. Absolutely fantastic. They've won half their games, won 7 of 15 games, drawn 3, picked up 24 points. So when he took the job on, they were seriously looking as if they were going to be kind of sucked into this battle with Harrogate, who's going to go down. So huge well done to them for finishing the season well clear of the relegation zone. And he will, I'm sure, will be hoping now that will give them a lift going into next season.
Now then, elephant in the room time, and third against fourth at this moment. Midweek, Glossop North End beat Northwich Victoria by 1-0. That put Glossop North End in third position, 1 point clear of Northwich Victoria going into the final weekend. Now, obviously, you only have to type in Northwich Victoria in Google and click news, and then you'll have everything you need to know about Northwich Victoria and this season. We're not going to go into great detail, but Saturday, boom, banger, bang fixture this one. Winner takes all, I feel. Glossop North End against Northwich Victoria. Boom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing that both managers really wouldn't have wanted so much riding on the last game of the season. Normally, you reach this point, you're playing a dead rubber, you know you're in the playoffs, you arguably know who your opponent's going to be, and you select your team on the Saturday with both eyes probably on the playoff semi-final on Tuesday. These two can't do that. A quirk of the fixture list, because their previous meetings earlier in the campaign got postponed, just thrown them together with this weird doubleheader at the end of the season.
Tripleheader.
First is which... Tripleheader. It's going to be a tripleheader, yeah. The first, which obviously was played on Wednesday. Glossop picked up 3 points, which gives them now the advantage going into tomorrow's game. Providing they avoid defeat, they will be at home on Tuesday in the playoff semi-final. Of course, massive incentive for Northwich tomorrow. If they can reverse Wednesday's result, they will be rewarded with home advantage in the playoff and Tuesday. So it's going to be fascinating to see what the managers do tomorrow. You would assume they'll go pretty strong with their lineups, and it's going to be hard for either of them to kind of hold something back and kind of, oh, well, we'll save this for Tuesday. Don't want to give this away. Don't want to give that formation away, or whatever decision away. But I'm not sure either of them can do that. Obviously, two results out of three are good for Glossop. So they will probably start tomorrow's game as slight favourites, but I think it's too close to call. And I think home advantage does matter. I mean, Vic's record at Wincham Park this season has been really, really good. So they will want, if they can, despite losing on Wednesday, they will obviously want to try and get home advantage on Tuesday. Because if you do go to Glossop on Tuesday night, there'll be a big, vocal home crowd behind the hosts, and that will help them. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. I think that there's hardly anything to choose between the two teams as well, as proven by they had a close game on Wednesday. I think it'll be close again tomorrow, and I think it's really tough to call who's going to go through on Tuesday. So it's nice to have, I mean, that's probably that is the one game in the division tomorrow with something riding on it, and it will decide or determine a change of league position, an ultimate final league position. So it's definitely the one to keep your eye on tomorrow.
So that is Division 1 North. Commiserations, as we said a couple of weeks ago, to Harrogate Railway and New Mills. We hope you bounce back and come back stronger next season. But Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, how could people keep abreast of everything that's going on in that Mid-Cheshire kind of world of non-league football?
Hotbed. Yeah, at @Simo_on_sport is your window into this crazy world that is football in Mid-Cheshire and Northwich. And northwichguardian.co.uk.
Perfect. Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thank you very much for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
My pleasure. Thanks, mate.
So that's nearly it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. Just to let you know on plans for next week, on this very podcast, on Tuesday evening, depending on where the playoff semi-finals are, we're assuming one of them is going to be at Moor Lane. We're hopefully going to be broadcasting from Moor Lane, probably pre-recorded because we don't want to step on anyone's toes. But we are going to be doing a little playoff special podcast on Tuesday night, which I'm hopeful will be out on Tuesday evening, late on Tuesday evening. On Wednesday, we're going to be live from Ewen Fields on FCUM Radio for the Manchester Premier Cup final between Mosley and Stalybridge Celtic, which gives us a perfect opportunity as well to have a couple of interviews and stuff about the playoff finals taking place at the end of the week. But also, we should mention, on FCUM Radio, as well as on Whitby Town Radio, of course, Friday night next week, live from Farsley Celtic, it's the Integro Duton final between Scarborough and To Be Announced. We'll be there live from 7 o'clock, and we'll be doing a little MPL show special as well from that, where we'll be joined by Swampy, Roy Sewell and a few other people to discuss the playoff finals next week. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this very special edition. A big good luck to everyone who still has something to play for this Saturday in the Evo Stick Northern Premier League. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's @NPLshow. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/ the NPL. But that's it for me for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a big thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.